Good morning. And welcome to New Crossing Church. I laugh because it is kind of crazy with the coronavirus, the COVID-19, and the way our world is trying to handle and manage this time. And it's tough because I realize, well, all of us are finding ourselves restricted and isolated in our gatherings. But it's also time for us to remember Jesus' words this morning, for especially just for the few that are helping make this possible. For when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, but not more than 10, there I am among them. And so thank you, Jesus, for being here. And before we also go further, just one quick announcement. In listening to this message, you may have questions or thoughts you want to share. And we want you to know that we're going to have a Zoom group Monday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And that will give us a second chance to connect as a community. And you'll get an email letting you know the link and how to connect. And so this is important that we do continue not just praying, but connecting as God's people. And the few of us here afterward will also be spending a time praying for the rest of you who can't be here. We are in a sermon series called Paradigm Shift, as you see up here. And in the Gospel of Luke, what I love about it is that Jesus is taking us through the story of his life, taking us with him in this journey that shifts the way we understand God through Jesus, and also a shift in our values as they begin to line up to the values of the kingdom. And that is so important. And I don't think it's coincidence that God put on my heart before this epidemic hit the world just to spend this year looking at Christ himself, because I cannot think of a better time to focus on a Jesus, a greater need to make him the focus of our lives than in a time like this, and to remember he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. And so it's good, plug into the rest of these as we do these online, and pray that you have a paradigm shift that many of us have already had. Invite friends to do the same. So we're in this series, and I want to pray, because if one thing, if anything, we'll notice is that those that follow Jesus find themselves with him in very unexpected times, even like we are now. And I want us to pray concerning the coronavirus and also for this message. So let's just begin with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus whom we love and in the power of your Holy Spirit, and we seek you in this time. We remember who you are and your goodness and greatness. We bring our world leaders before you and ask that you give them divine wisdom and how to move forward as nations, to move forward in a way that keeps people safe, but also give them wisdom on how to interact with each other. We're praying greater world peace between leaders and nations. We're praying a greater unity as we move forward. And we also ask, God, your wisdom upon the researchers, and pray that you will help guide them to antidotes. And we pray that this recent drug that they have found will also help us be able to fight this, and pray that the distribution centers will be able to produce this quickly. And we're just grateful that we are making progress in this. And we ask your strength and resources upon the medical community, Lord, for they are finding themselves strapped and running low. We pray that you will provide all the medications and people that they need, medical community, to help with that. And we ask your prayers for the church. Let us be, first of all, that light on the hill for the city, shining brightly, holding forth hope in Jesus Christ. And we pray that we, as a church, will also be your hands and feet and individuals to the neighbors around us, that we can be ready, knowing because we are not a people of fear but of faith, and we know our destiny in Jesus Christ is eternal life. So help us have a boldness and courage for your glory and honor. And all of God's people said, amen. So this morning, we will learn that Jesus calls men and women into deeper waters of faith because there is glory there to be found that is greater than if we stay in the shallows. And you could be turning to Luke chapter 5 or opening up your phone apps to there. And we are continuing in this Luke series, Paradigm Shift. And what is fascinating in this morning's story is that we're going to learn much about following Jesus as disciples in a narrative about a fisherman's life. And I just think that's really neat. It's not, Jesus doesn't just give us, here's what a disciple is, but he actually uses the story and he actually turns it into an analogy when he tells Peter that he himself will become one who catches men and women. And so I want to use Jesus' own wisdom and using this as an analogy to help encourage us this morning. So Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will now help our hearts and minds to open up to the reading of these words. For Lord, we can't even understand spiritual things without your Holy Spirit, and we look forward to the things you're going to speak. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Luke. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is, by the way, also called the Lake of Galilee, which you might be more familiar with. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, we will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And that's a key phrase. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men," which that is a generic word meaning also men and women. "And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him." It is important to understand that in this, I believe even Simon was realizing that Jesus just did something and that he had turned something Peter or Simon, because he later on we find out that he'll be called Peter. And but when Andrew, his younger brother, in John chapter 1, came to Peter, we see him coming to his brother Simon saying, "I have found the Messiah." And so this is a point in Peter's life, which we even see here. He's called Simon Peter. And so it's even his name is a picture of a paradigm shift that Jesus is making in him when Jesus said, "From now on, you'll be called Peter." And you got to believe that Peter is connecting the dots as he's rowing this boat heavy with fish from the deep waters to the shore. And you got to know that he's thinking, wait a second. I'm the fish that got nabbed in this story. I just got hooked by Jesus. Jesus, you're a lot more than a carpenter. You're a master fisherman. And I love that imagery that if Peter kind of comes to these realizations as Jesus enters his life, we do too. And I love the picture in this morning's passage of fishing, because one of my fondest memories is fishing with my own grandfather. He died when I was a pretty young lad, but what I loved even more than the fishing was the time I got to spend with him, and they are treasured memories. And what's neat about Jesus is as he comes into our life in this way, we gain our own precious treasured memories, but he is always with us and building upon those truths. And what I'm wondering this morning is, are the fish going to be biting? And I know you're, oh no, you're not going to start telling a bunch of fish jokes, are you, this morning? And it's like, no, I wouldn't do that to you. But hey, let me ask you this. What is Jesus' favorite fish to catch? Soul. Oh, I know, that's bad, I know. But ask yourself in this figuratively speaking, where are you spiritually finding yourself in this story, especially in the troubling times we have? Because in this story, I see three settings. First, there is the people on the shore, including Peter. Peter finds himself first on that shore with the nets. Then we have the next scene where we find Jesus in the shallow, in Peter's boat, but in the shallows. And there's something just shifted for Peter. Something went deeper in that place. But then ultimately, we go from the shallows to the deep waters where the spiritually deep things start happening for Peter and his faith. And so ask yourself in that story where you find where you are standing or sitting. We have, in a time like this, a lot of concerns and anxieties. And even in this story, I hope what you are noticing that there is compassion in this man, Jesus. We've already seen him healing the sick. We've seen him deal with oppression, even when it comes from demonic forces. We see Jesus speaking with authority, the coming of the kingdom. These are important things. But not just the compassion of Jesus will help us in these times, but also when we understand the calling he puts on his church and you and me as individuals. Because if we don't understand these things, what happens? What happens in times of fear and anxiety? Yeah, don't we spiral down into darker places because we are focusing where? On ourselves. And the moment we put all our energy and focus on ourselves, that's the place in which things get darker and scarier. Because the truth is we realize our own limitations and abilities. And that's why we focus on Jesus, the one, the creator of the universe, the one that loves us so much. And yet we can't even stop there. We need to focus on the calling Jesus gives us. Because in the calling, we have not only the focus on Christ, but we have the focus on others. Jesus himself, in the temptation that we learned earlier, Satan comes along and really on some level is trying to get Jesus to focus on himself and to take the easy road, to take the easy way out. And that's what Satan does to us. But we resist that and we look at Christ and who we are in him. And when in that identity and calling, we pull ourselves out of despair and hopelessness. Amen? So, the first place we find ourselves is as a spectator. And none of these three movements, from shore to shallows to deep, are wrong. We all have to have a beginning point with Christ. And the beginning point is a spectator standing on the shore with the teacher. At this place, Jesus is the one speaking truth in us. As we read, it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. You see, Jesus came for the primary purpose of sharing the good news. If you're able to, look at chapter 4 at verse 43. We read, but Jesus said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. The preaching of the good news is the entry point into knowing Jesus. That's why this becomes the thing he must do, his purpose, while he is here physically on this planet. And the good news is also translated gospel, or it comes from the Greek word evangelize at its root. And so the good news Jesus comes preaching, which we'll see even more as time goes on, is a lot more than just the truth of God and the commandments and, well, in Jesus' case, the Beatitudes and what is justice and what are the lies of the world. But the good news encompasses our forgiveness. It's the truth that we have forgiveness and salvation. But even forgiveness and salvation is not the greatest truth. The good news is found in its focus on Christ himself. He is the center of the good news. And if you had been reading Luke up to this point, you would have heard Zechariah, this old priest, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he proclaims that this good news is coming and that his own son John would be the forerunner of the Lord, who is the good news and promise of salvation for the world and his people. And then we hear even on the angels' lips that the good news is coming in the birth of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I just have to read this one. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11 read, Behold, I bring, and this is the angel proclaiming this, Behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now listen, this is the good news. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then when John the Baptist comes on the scene, it says that he came preaching the good news. And what was the good news? Well, we all think of, oh yeah, repentance, you know, from sin by the baptism of water. But even John himself knew the ultimate destination of the good news was Christ when he said that there is one coming after him that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us experience intimacy within us with the Savior. Is this not the good news? So this is not the first time, though, that Simon has encountered Christ. You see, Simon himself is one standing on the shores, in the shallows, you know, as a listener. And he has been hearing, even before this morning's story, the teachings of Jesus about the good news of the kingdom of God. He's been hearing Jesus talk about the coming of this kingdom and alluding to, I mean, first of all, the question on his heart was the one that Andrew, his brother, posed, was, this is the Messiah, and so he's listening. Is this the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, the anointed one of the Spirit who God would send to save us? And that's the crux of the question when we stand on the shore. And seeing also the good news manifest itself in the healing of people from every kind of disease. He saw there was no one that Jesus wasn't able to heal. Simon saw with his own eyes, not just in the power and authority of the scriptures, but he sees people being set free from evil spirits. Simon comes to believe Jesus enough to even make it personal when Jesus is invited into Simon's home and he beseeches Jesus to heal his mother-in-law, which I don't know if some of us would do that, but I applaud Simon for wanting his mother-in-law healed of a disease, a fever that ravished her. So on the shores where all our journeys spiritually begin. And sometimes we have to go back there even. But in our story of going deeper, we see Jesus is about to make the relationship more personal for Simon. Simon is about to move from just being an observer and listener to one who's going to become a participant in this story. And we see that in verses 2 through 3. We see Jesus, he was standing on the shore teaching, but he's so crowded by the people on the lake that he gets into Simon's boat and asks him to put out a little ways in water. And so I want us to just understand those movements is that first the spectators were standing on the shore with the teacher, but now the teacher becomes Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ in our lives. And so the participant is anchored in the shallows with Jesus in their boat. So now it's getting personal, and in the Simon's participation was just the simple rowing the boat, 100 feet offshore and anchoring. It didn't take much. But in this analogy, I think in some ways, it's a picture, the boat is the picture of our soul. And one thing I want you to understand about this boat is about 20 to 30 feet long. It's a fishing boat. And I wanted to find a cool picture of the catching of the miraculous fish for you. And I only found this one painting from actually the 16th century. And then as you're looking at it, in this painting, it's kind of ridiculous because the boat's like 60 feet long. It looks like, Simon bought it from Target. And it's got, him and Jesus in there, and it's loaded with fish. But what I like is it shows that there's this spiritual encounter between Christ and Simon happening in that boat, represented by the halos, something godly. It's heaven meeting earth in that moment. And I do like that about the painting. So Simon's moving from listener to participant, and Jesus is now taking a first place in Simon's life by Simon saying yes to him getting to the place of honor in the boat. And so that just that picture of Jesus being in the seat at the front of the boat with the fish is a place in which one is receiving Jesus' simple request to make him Lord, to make him master in your life. And the boat represents that place in which you live. The boat is the place in which you make your decisions, the place in which your kingdom your values begin to align up with the kingdom. Think of it as the seat of honor in your boat, or the center stage of your life, or the throne of your heart. The throne, whoever sits on that throne in your heart is the one that has authority. And Jesus wants that place, and he's begun to take it in Simon's own life. And I really want to stress that it's spending time with Jesus in the shallows is critical to the foundation of one's life. This is in the shallows with Jesus when the sun's shining like it is this morning, this place where it's peaceful, you can listen easily, is the place in which we learn from the Messiah. He continues to teach us as Simon was hearing the teaching of Jesus. He was a captive audience, but I really believed he was taking it into his heart. And this is the place in which a paradigm shift begins to happen in our soul. We begin to believe and receive the good news, and actually our understanding of Jesus, if we listen with spiritual ears gets transformed. It becomes bigger than we can understand, larger than we can contain. And the deep level of our life radically changes because we begin to seek Him. We become receptive. So when you are in the morning, in the quietness, in the shallows, and the world is okay for that hour, and you're reading these words and you're praying in the Spirit to help apply it to your life, these are the shallows in which the depth of truth and the relationship with Christ does grow. It's important, and we have to make that a value in our life. And as Jesus continues to teach you, not just you're knowing Him, but your own identity, you begin to know yourself in a more profound way. And that's exciting. I mean, even at my age, I'm still learning new things of the truth about who I am, and I'm shedding the stuff that were lies that Satan dumps on me or from experience I've had, and I'm sure you too. We need to be in the shallows with Christ, Him speaking, Him and the Holy Spirit transforming us. Isn't this important? Yeah. So we move, though, just from being participants anchored in the shallows with Christ to followers rowing deeper to deeper waters of faith and casting nets for the Lord. And this is where it gets really good. This is where it becomes powerful. There comes this moment, not just in believing Jesus is actually the Christ, the Lord, as the angel declared, but this is the place, the moment in which Jesus asks us not just to, you know, row 100 feet off from the shore, but He's asking great things of us, things that are challenging and maybe frightening. This is the place in which faith really does go deep. And so we need those trials. The New Testament talks about, in James chapter 1 talks about those trials. Peter later on in his own letters talks about those difficult times, the sufferings that refine our faith. And they are a critical time. And that's why you do not want to resist those times either. So Jesus, in verse 4, takes Simon into the deep waters. And what's interesting is in verse 4 and 5, Peter's own response when Jesus tells him to row out, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, and hold on to that word for a moment. We'll come back to that. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. You see, Peter is not a recreational fisherman. He is a professional fisherman with a fishing business, and he has partners, James and John, and his brother Andrew, though not mentioned, is probably the one in the boat that will help him pull up some of these fish. And so he is in this place of frustration where all night they fish, because anyone knows that's the time for casting nets into the waters. And they fish and not catch anything. And then on top of that is the great effort. See, the deep waters take more effort than just rowing 100 feet from shore. And now they have to repair the damage that's been done. And I can only imagine, you know, how some of us feel in this time also in finding ourselves in deep waters with not being able to go to work or working from home if you're lucky. But so many of us are facing so many challenges in relationships and financially and work. And it's like, oh, man. And then Jesus comes along and asks, and sorry if I mix up the Simon and Peter, but Simon Peter to do this again, to trust Him. And the irony in all this is that the carpenter's telling the master fisherman how to do his job. You ever have Christ do that? Speak into your life in a way He's speaking into something you're wrestling with. Relationships, careers, and He's wanting you to do it differently than the way the world does. And you're like, you don't understand. In our culture and time, Jesus, this is how we do things. But what I love, and what you have to catch in this moment, sorry for the play of words, catch. But After he tells Jesus, we toiled all night and took nothing, and he wasn't afraid. Simon wasn't afraid to tell Jesus, hey, I don't like this, what you're asking. I find this request difficult, and it's appropriate to tell the Lord what's hard for us. But look what Simon says. But at your word, I will let down the nets. What's important to understand about Simon in this is though Simon doubts, he obeys. And that is so critical in your journey into the deeper waters with Christ, because you have a choice in these times. You have a choice in the things he asks of you. Maybe he wants to turn your world upside down in ways you don't expect. And I'm not talking about just now. The whole disciple's journey, a follower of Christ, their whole journey is one listening to the Lord and willing to obey whatever he asks of them. It could be the addition of things in life. It could be the exclusion of things and letting go. But these are the times that you need to know in the story, and it's too often missed. What happened when Peter did that? He had an amazing catch. His boat was brimming over with fish, which is cash for him. And so we see Jesus is as one who cares. It was not just that he's calling Peter to deeper waters of faith, but Jesus cared about his business. You need to know that. Jesus cared about his family. He had a wife, and we know later kids, but I'm not sure. But he also had business partners, and so we face these same kind of things where we work in the home, and we have our anxieties, and they can grow into fears, and Jesus comes along and gives him a miraculous catch of fish, because he's compassionate. Jesus has led Simon to deeper waters, and now he's got Simon hooked. It's not just that Simon grows from being a doubter to an obeyer, but also Simon, in his paradigm shift, learns what are the qualifications to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Did you notice earlier that Simon called Jesus master? But now, in verse 8, he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Lord moves from just master to one of God, one you follow, one you submit to. It's actually Simon's realization in this moment when he was unable to catch one fish, that Jesus was taking him into a place that he's out of his depth. But the one he's in the boat with is not out of his depth. And Simon, in that moment, the realization that he is in a boat with one who can command the fish themselves, falls on his knees, falls at the feet of Jesus. But actually it says he fell down at the knees of Jesus. And so, you know, can you imagine? Because I think Jesus' feet are just hidden by all the fish in the boat. That's why the text didn't say feet. And Simon falls on his knees among the smelly fish, and he doesn't care because he has come into the realization that he is among somebody much greater than he ever realized. Why does he say, depart from me, O Lord, though? Simon understands that he's undeserving of such abundant blessing. He can't say to God, you owe me abundance. He's awed by the presence of Jesus. Why does he say, depart from me? Because even more so, he recognizes his sinfulness, which is our natural response when we really experience ourselves coming into the presence of the Holy One. Simon no longer doubts Jesus is the Messiah, but he does doubt his own worthiness to even be in Jesus' presence. This is going spiritually deep. And Jesus takes it one level more. Not only does Simon realize his sinfulness and his unworthiness to be in his presence, but notice what Jesus says to him at the end of verse 10. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." This is the deepest place of faith in this story for those of you that want God to take you deeper, those of you that want to become followers of Christ, is that those that Jesus seeks, like Simon, those that can come into the close companionship of Christ are only those who, like Simon, who can acknowledge their sins and their unworthiness to be in his company. In other words, it's only the humbled and unqualified that Jesus is seeking. And I find that profound and comforting. Because I don't know about you, I continually find myself feeling humbled by my sin in the presence of God and unqualified to do the things he calls me to do. What are those things Jesus is asking of you? And you may be feeling that way, like, who am I to do anything for God? I am unworthy. Don't you know, Lord, the darkness of my thoughts and heart sometimes? And the answer is, yes, Jesus says, I see those. And because of your humility and willingness to obey me, and you're realizing that you don't even have the ability to catch a fish, that's what qualifies you, puts you at the top of the list to be my follower. Is that a paradigm shift? Yeah, right. So be encouraged that it's your humility before Jesus and your inadequacy are exactly the stuff that the Lord can build a strong disciple of, a woman or a man. That's the stuff he can work with. So not only does he call Peter to deeper faith, but he even deepens his calling by telling Simon that that he doesn't need to be afraid, and that he's put a call in his life to be a fisherman of men and women. And I love that, because Simon, hearing that he found his purpose, and he will return to fishing also, but he realizes above his call, his career as a fisherman. And what is your career? What is your calling in the marketplace or maybe ministry? But above it all, he calls men and women to be those who catch others and takes them from the shore by teaching them to the shallows, where they themselves will invite Jesus into their heart and then let Jesus take them into the deep waters where we can't go. So we can't always go with people in those troubling, challenging places, but we're like, yeah, you go. Jesus got you. You won't drown. Trust him. Amen. Simon's day began with a boatload of frustration and some anxiety, kind of like times like now, maybe fear. No fish, no income, suffering business, hungry family. But in Simon's faith, he follows Jesus into the deeper waters and receives the blessing of a boatload of fish. And just for me, this speaks to my heart is yeah, I bring a boatload of frustration, and I love it when Jesus provides provision, a boatload of fish. But I got to remember, and you got to remember with me, that ultimately, like Peter, we choose a boatload of faith and say, Jesus, if this is what it takes for my faith to grow, and then that's what I'm wanting. I want to go to the deeper waters with you. I want greater glory in choosing your ways. And understand, people, that glory is the manifestation of God and Christ on earth. When you look at Christ, you're seeing the glory of God. But at the same time, we glorify God. There's another glory when then we become like Christ in the lives of others. So where is that place in which you need to cast a line, to throw a net? We are in a time of isolation. Does it feel lonely? Feel like, man, I wish I could talk with, I'd rather go to work. Well, if you can't go to work, call someone at work. Pray and ask who you can connect with. Text, FaceTime, because there's isolated people that maybe need to hear a small word of encouragement and truth. Maybe they are standing on the shore and they know of Jesus, but they haven't invited them into the boat. I know that for us, one of the places that was going deep for Jill and I was a few weeks back when we went to Asia to visit, three countries to visit friends and missionaries that our church supports. And then we even managed to get a little second honeymoon for a few days. But in that time, there were such opportunities as we have never had before to throw some truth about the Messiah out there, to give them some good news. And it's so easy to talk about, yeah, how crazy this is. And you start talking about a restaurant manager in Thailand, Uber driver in Indonesia. And you begin to say, yeah, and it's kind of scary, huh? And they're like, yeah. And they're worried about getting sick. They're worrying about their jobs. And it's like, and you can talk about this God that you have found incredible peace with, who is in control of your lives and you can trust him. Share this with coworkers. Maybe you're a parent stuck with the kids at home and you have a boatload of frustration. And it's like, well, what about taking them, going to the shore and helping them learn the stories about Christ and helping them go from the shore into the shallows and where they themselves begin to see what it's like. And this time, that's probably not easy for them too, being home. There's so many opportunities. But also ask yourself, where are you out of your depth? Where do you need to trust the Lord? Where are you self needing a faith to go deeper? One of the members of my church this week and talking with him was talking, he just said, you know, Craig, my faith in God, I have grown more spiritually in the last 2 months than I have in my whole life. And I'm like, wow, that's how I want to be. I want to be like Simon. So let me read this as we come to the close here in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And I really encourage you to take some of your favorite stories. Take those stories that in verses that would help encourage you, ones that memorize a verse that you can share with others. And this one is one of the ones I've memorized and I love, and I memorized it for myself, but then I realized, you know, and it's in Philippians 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. And in this, in light of what's happening now, listen to how much more depth Paul's words to us in Philippians speaks as he speaks to the church and us. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And it's like, what? In a time like this, things must have been going perfectly, right? There was no Roman oppression. No, things were tough. Things were scary. And he's saying, rejoice where? Where does he say? In the Lord. Where are you in proximity to the Lord in these times of difficulty? And he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. It certainly is a time for people to not be reasonable, aren't they? Kind of crazy, full of fear, doing stupid stuff, and yet the followers, the believers of Christ are to be the ones who are reasonable in these times and being a witness to others, because we're in the Lord, the creator, the lover of our souls, the one who's with us continually. There's a quote I heard in all this craziness from one of our missionaries. He said, our security is in our closeness to God and not in our distance from trouble. Isn't that good? Our security is in the closeness to God and not in our distance. Then Paul goes on to say, the Lord is at hand. He is close to us, just like that quote. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And this is the great part. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Messiah Jesus. This is what will guard our hearts when we do. It's not wrong to feel the anxiety and fears, but we take it, as Paul said, with prayer and petitioning God, with thanksgiving. How do you do that? Thanksgiving, because you know that in this, by praying this, you put the Lord in charge of your life, and he cares about you, your family, your needs, but most of all, your soul. We can choose to act in fear, or we can choose to act in faith and go deeper with the Lord. Glory is more than stronger faith, more than just faith, but glory is your bringing Jesus deeper in relationship with him. So I want us to close with prayer, and I want us to, in the closing, hear this one thing. Peter let himself go deeper with Christ, and Jesus said he would make Peter a fisher of men and women. And if you were to turn to Acts chapter 2 and read in verses 37 and 38, this is the beginning of Peter being a fisherman. And Jesus Christ has now died for his sins and yours and mine. He has risen from the dead, and Jesus promised the Holy Spirit as a seal of the inheritance we have of eternal life. And Peter begins to speak. And it says, now when they had heard this, they were cut. When they heard the truth, the good news that Simon Peter was preaching about who Christ is and why God sent him and how he is our Savior, it says they were cut to the heart and said to Simon and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? You see, they're hooked. Peter took them on the shore, told them the good news, and now they're hooked and say, what must we do? And Simon said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This is Peter casting the nets. And it says in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. What's Jesus' favorite fish to catch? Souls, right. Well, Jesus is coming into your life and mine, and he says, be fishers of people. You catch them, I'll clean them. Oh, no, not another fishing joke. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for coming on the scene. I pray, Lord, if anybody standing on the shore has not invited you into their boat, I pray this morning that they know that they are loved, and that as they, like Peter, say, I'm a sinner, that you forgive them and become Lord in their lives. Take center stage. Sit on the throne of their heart, because they need to know that they can trust you with their very lives, and that only you can perfectly love them and lead them. Let them go from just believers that you're a great moral teacher to those who say, Lord. And Lord, we also pray that you will take us into the shallows where we become participants in helping you get the word out. But also let us be followers that aren't afraid for you to take us into the deep waters, because we desire, like Simon, a boatload of faith more than a boatload of fish. We will make you the priority of our lives, and we want to grow. And the world's salvation depends on you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.